Well, good morning. We have been looking at the promise, and the promise is foretold in the Old Testament. The promise is that a Messiah would come, the anointed one that God promised that one day he would deliver his people. And we've looked at 3 other weeks at the promise, and those promises that we looked at came in the book of Isaiah. This week, however, we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is an Old Testament prophet, and I'll give you a little extra time to find it. Don't feel shame if you have to go to the index or the table of contents to find that in your Bible. It's a big book in the Old Testament, and Jeremiah has a lot to say, and we're going to look particularly at chapter 31. But what we've been looking at is, in Isaiah, he promises that a child would be born, that he would be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an eternal father. He would be the Prince of Peace. And then also in Jeremiah, in Isaiah, it is promised that this child would be born and that God would use him to be a light to the nations. And we looked at that last week. This week, we're going to look at the promise of a new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah is a prophet, and I just kind of give you a little bit of background. Jeremiah is a prophet who is living during the time of before and during the time of the exile. And so Israel goes into exile. The Babylonians capture them, and they take them out of their land, a lot of them, and they bring them to exile. And Jeremiah is a prophet who before it happens, tells Israel it's going to happen, and he's also prophesying while it's going on. And so Jeremiah is a prophet during that time. And so today we want to look at a promise that is given to Jeremiah over 600 years before Jesus is born. About 630 years to be a little more exact. So before Jesus is born, 630 years before God puts on flesh and comes down and dwells among his people, God tells Jeremiah that there's going to be a new covenant. So God promises Jeremiah this new covenant. And by the time we're done this morning, I want you to recognize that Jesus is the fulfillment of this new covenant. So what I want to do is I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. And they're going to sound very familiar. Because earlier on in service, Savannah read a portion of Hebrews. And in Hebrews, he quotes Jeremiah 31. And so I want to read Jeremiah 31 and let us pull out a couple of things in that text. And then we're going to move into our Lord's Supper time today. This is what Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 31, says. It says, "Look, the days are coming when I will make a covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. This one will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke even though I had married them. Instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will one teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sin." This is a promise that God makes to Jeremiah 630 years before Jesus is born. Today we come and we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But in order to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we need to understand the reasons that Jesus came. Over the last few weeks, we looked at the fact that he would be a wonderful counselor. He would be a mighty God. He would be an everlasting Father. He would be the Prince of Peace, that he would be the light to the nations. And today, I want us to look at the fact that he will institute, or he has instituted, the new covenant, and that you and I could still be a part of this new covenant. Before we get to the new covenant, though, we need to look at the fact that the old covenant is broken. That there was a broken covenant that is first given. Verses 31 and 32 talk about this broken covenant. It talks about, I gave you this covenant at Sinai with your ancestors. And if you read through the Old Testament, you see God delivers them out of Egypt. He brings them to Exodus through Exodus, and he brings them to Sinai, and he says, let's make a covenant. And a covenant is a promise. It's a promise between two groups of people. So God is on one side of the covenant. Israel is on the other side of the covenant. And they make mutual promises to each other. They make vows to each other. And God says, I will be with you. I will bless you. I will be your God. You will be my people. And what you're responsible to do is to obey my law. And a few weeks ago, we walked through the Ten Commandments. We walked through the law of God. And the problem is that Israel broke the covenant. God remained faithful to everything he said he would do. God remained faithful to Israel, yet Israel abandons God. He even uses this phrase that you may say, what in the world are you talking about? He uses this metaphor he says, I married you. In other words, I was the husband of you. I took care of you. I took you on, and you were to be my wife. But in reality, you were totally unfaithful. In the book of Hosea, there's a picture of that, where Israel is totally unfaithful. They worshiped other gods. They gave their allegiance to other people instead of focusing on God. And they broke every one of the commands. And God says it's a broken covenant. It's a broken promises. And so as a result of their disobedience to God, God keeps warning them, come back to me, come back to me, stop sinning, come back to me, stop worshiping false idols, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. And finally, Jeremiah comes. He sends Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, we're going into exile. And the king says, no, not Jeremiah, you're crazy. And Jeremiah says, we're going into exile. God's had enough. We've disobeyed him as a nation over and over again, and God has had enough. It's time to pay the piper. And here come the Babylonians, and they destroy Jerusalem, and they take a large swath of the people into exile. Because Israel was unfaithful. Israel broke the covenant. And there Jeremiah prophesies what we see today, that a new covenant would come. So, what is that new covenant? In verses 33 and 34, I want to read those again for you to kind of refresh your memory and hear again what the covenant, what the aspects of the covenant would be. He says, instead, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my teaching within them and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sin. I'm going to pull out two aspects of the covenant that I want you to see here, the new covenant. One is that he will put his teaching within them. He says, I will write it on your hearts, that you won't have to go and teach it, but you will know it. I think that this is an illusion, that this is a promise that the Holy Spirit would come and indwell the believer. That the Holy Spirit, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is illuminating Scripture, helping us to understand Scripture, helping us to recall what God has said, and that as you read God's Word, the Holy Spirit helps you understand it in a way that you could never understand it without Him. So the first thing is that the Holy Spirit is promised to the believer. The second thing is that he says, I will forgive their wrongdoing and never again remember their sin. And one of the aspects of what God did on the cross is that he covers our sin. So when God looks at his children, he doesn't see their sin. He sees the sacrifice of Christ. So when God looks on you, if you are a believer, if you are a follower of his, if you seek him, if you are a disciple, and he looks and he sees us, he doesn't see the sin that we commit. Yet he sees our forgiveness. He sees us reconciled to him. He sees no sin, and he remembers our sin no more, so that we don't have to continually sacrifice. We don't have to continually give a sacrifice, but rather we just repent of that sin, which means we say that we're sorry and we mean it and we change our actions. So in this new covenant that the Holy Spirit would come, but also that God would not see our sin. And from the time Jeremiah prophesied that, you go up into history about 630 years, and this baby is born to this poor teenage girl and this guy who's not the father, but he's supporting it because God said he's my son. And Jesus is born in a manger. Well, he's born and he's put in a manger. He's put in a feed trough. Manger just sounds better. I mean, imagine being born in a barn. Smells, mud, other stuff on your shoes. That's where the Creator of the universe is born. And they put some fresh hay, if they had it, in a feed trough. And they put him there, and they wrap him in clothes to kind of warm him up. The Creator of the universe, the God who loves you, put on humanity and became a helpless baby. And he will grow up. And as he grows up, he gets about to the age of 30, and he starts teaching, and he gets these 12 guys to be with him, and he teaches them about the kingdom, and he teaches them about God, and he transforms their understanding of what the Bible says, and they understand that he is the Son of God, and he keeps telling them, I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise again. And they don't understand it. It makes no sense to them. He says, I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise again 3 days later. And the night before, or the night that he gets arrested, is the time of season that's known as Passover. It's in the springtime. It's a huge Jewish festival. What they're doing is they're remembering, they're celebrating what God did in Exodus. Remembering that God brought them out and delivered them from their enslavement. And Jesus takes this meal with his disciples. And at this meal, there's so many parallels, we just don't have time to go into it tonight or today. That instead of us being freed from Egypt in Exodus, that Jesus's sacrifice is going to free us from our sin, that he will cover it, that he will rise again. But when he takes this meal, he offers them bread, which was part of the meal. And he makes this statement. He says, "This is my body, which will be given for you." And they take the bread and they eat the bread. And in a little while, we're going to do the same thing. But then he takes the cup and he makes this statement. If you go to Luke chapter 22, chapter 20, Jesus, it's the time when they're doing the Lord's Supper, and Jesus, or the Passover Supper, and Jesus makes this statement in Luke 22, 20. He says, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood, and it is shed for you." I have no doubt in my mind that what Jesus is talking about as a new covenant is, it goes back to what God promised Jeremiah 630 years before, that this new covenant was coming, that God would write his word on our heart, that the Holy Spirit would indwell us, that Jesus' sacrifice would be once for all, that Jesus' blood would be shed for us, and he would give his life. And so when God looks at us, he sees no sin. That's amazing. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 says this, "Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance, because a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." First covenant couldn't do it. First covenant could not free us from our sin. And so Jesus came with a new covenant. There's no doubt in my mind that the writer of Hebrews is referring to Jeremiah. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus is referring to Jeremiah. Jeremiah may never have understood what he was saying, but God used Jeremiah to tell us of this new covenant. So today I want to ask you, are you part of this new covenant? Have you given your life to him? Do you serve him daily? Have you given him your all? If not, you have a chance to give him today. And today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Jesus is born in a manger, and he's born for a purpose. He was born to die. So as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's a time for those who are believers to take of the Lord's Supper. And so what we believe is that if you are a Christian, you've been baptized, it doesn't matter if you go to another church regularly. If you're here today and you want to take the Lord's Supper, we welcome you to. If you don't want to, that's okay. Just pass it. We're gonna take it all together. We'll pass out the bread, and then we'll take it, and then we'll pass out the juice, and we'll take it. But if you're not part of the new covenant yet, don't take it. And if you're not part of the new covenant, you want to be part of this new covenant where the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and God looks down on you and sees no sin, but he sees Jesus' sacrifice. Let's talk about that today. So as the guys come, I want you to spend time in reflection about this time of year that we celebrate the birth of Christ and we remember his sacrifice. And we remember what God has done in our lives, through us, and for us.